Let's open our Bibles this morning in the book of Ruth and the chapter number one. That's the book of Ruth and the first chapter. And we commence reading at verse number 14 down to verse 22. Let's follow the reading of God's precious word. That is the book of Ruth and the chapter one, verse number 14. And they lifted up their voice and wept again. And Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but Ruth clave unto her. And she said, Behold, thy sister-in-law is gone back unto her people and unto her gods. Return now after thy sister-in-law. And Ruth said, Entreat me not to leave thee, nor to return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God my God. Where thou diest will I die, and there will I be buried. The Lord do so to me, and more also, if aught but death part thee and me. And when she saw that she was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. So they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, Is this Naomi? And she said unto them, Call me not Naomi, but call me Mara, for the Lord, or the Almighty, hath dealt very bitterly with me. I went out full, and the Lord brought me home again empty. Why then call ye me Naomi, seeing the Lord hath testified against me, and the Almighty hath afflicted me? So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law with her, which returned out of the land of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. We end our reading, and we know that God will add his blessing to the reading of his precious and his infallible truth. Let's just have a wee word of prayer and commit ourselves unto the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, this is thy word, and we come to this, thy word this morning. We pray in the Savior's name that you'll help me to rightly divide thy word and to preach thy word as thou hast given it here before us. We thank thee for an infallible book. We thank thee that thy word never changes amidst all the changes in this world. We bless thee that thy word is forever settled in heaven. And so we pray for the covering of the precious blood and the power of thy Holy Spirit to preach the unsearchable riches of Christ. For we pray in Jesus' precious name and for Jesus' sake. Amen. Now, in our study in this first chapter of the book of Ruth, we have considered the choices that people made in their lives. We considered the choice that Elimelech made. We considered the choice that Naomi has made to return back now to Bethlehem. We consider the choice that Orpah made. Because the Bible says that Orpah kissed her mother-in-law, but of course she turned back. And then we came to Ruth and the choice which she made. And we find those beautiful words in verses 16 and 17 concerning Ruth and her decision, Entreat me not to leave thee or to return from following after thee. And so therefore, having considered the choices, and remember, each and every one of us, we make choices every day. And of course, there's always something that follows the choices that we make. And of course, we have to realize that we make wrong choices. Then, of course, we pay the price of a wrong choice. But when we make the right choice, according to the Word of God, then we can know the blessing and the power of God in our lives. Now, the Bible says in verse number 18 that whenever Naomi saw that Ruth was steadfastly minded to go with her, then she left speaking unto her. Now, that does not mean that they didn't speak anymore. It was that she no longer was exhorting her to go back. In other words, she gave up on that because she had several times she told her and Orpah to go back to her mother's house. And Orpah did, but Ruth was not willing to do that. And so therefore, when Naomi saw that there was a determination in Ruth to go the whole way, then we find that she no longer asked her to go back, But then it says in verse 19, and that's where we start this morning. It says, so they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Now, whenever we look at those words, it says they too went until they came to Bethlehem. It didn't say Naomi by herself. Because remember, this is a long journey from Moab back to Bethlehem. It's some 60 to 70 miles. And in actual fact, not only was it a long, hard road, but remember, Naomi has learned a long, hard lesson before that she's decided to go back home. But whenever we look at this, it says that they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Here we see God's goodness in providing whenever Naomi was determined to go back to her homeland, go back to Judah, where God wanted her to be, go back to Bethlehem, where she ought to have been all of these years, and she's decided to go back. God is always the encouragement. Notice, Ruth went with her. And here's the goodness of God, because God has provided her company. He has provided her comfort. He had provided her succor for the journey, because this journey from Moab onto Bethlehem was a dangerous journey. Even for men, it wasn't a safe journey, because there was a lawless society at that time. There was anarchy at that time. Every man did that which is right, the Bible says, in their own eyes, in the land of Israel. And so therefore, this was a long, hard, and difficult journey. But thank God, God provided her company. And not only that, but I believe that God was giving her protection. God was providentially working in Naomi's life to make her way home. God watches whenever you decide to make your way home. And I can say this, that there's someone here this morning, and God is speaking to your heart, and maybe you're a backslider, and you're wanting to get back to the Lord. I'll tell you this, the Lord will provide the way. Thank God, the Lord will watch over the way. The Lord will make provision so that you get back to Him. Maybe there's someone that's not saved this morning, and maybe there's a desire in your heart. You've sat in gospel meetings, and there's a desire in your heart to be saved. I want to tell you, God will watch over you as you make your way to Him. Thank God, He's a God that's ready to pardon. And He'll make that way. He'll open up the way whereby that you can get back and come even unto Him. And for child of God, as you're making your way home to heaven, I want to tell you, His eye is on the sparrow, and I know He watches me. And the Lord's watching over you every day, and the Lord's eye will be upon you, protecting you, providentially leading you step by step along the journey. Now it says here, they too went until they came to Bethlehem. Two. Now, two in Scripture. Dr. Pace was the great preacher that always preached on numbers and the significance of numbers. Now, what does the two represent? Well, two is actually, it can represent two things. It can represent, first of all, unity. In Genesis, that God ordained that a man and a woman would form the family unit. That was the family unit, a man and a woman, and therefore that two would become one flesh. You remember the animals going into the ark? The Bible tells us they went in two by two. There was a unity in going into the ark there in Genesis chapter 7. Do you remember the 20 disciples, or rather the 12 disciples, or the 70 disciples that are mentioned in Mark's Gospel chapter 6? And it says they went out two by two. And therefore there was a unity once again, a union and unity in the people of God. Remember the tablets of stone that give us the Ten Commandments. There were two tables of stone. We have in our Bibles, indeed, the testimony of God is divided into the Old and the New Testament. So therefore, too, there is a unity, because the Old and New Testament gives us the unity of the whole of the Scriptures and the unity of the Word of God. But also the number two not only means union, but it also means testimony. It means testimony, the verification facts by witnesses. Because the minimum number of testimony was two, in the mouth of two or three witnesses. The Word of God says, where two or three are gathered together in my name. And so the minimum of testimony was two witnesses. The book of Ecclesiastes in chapter 4 says, two are better than one, for if they fall, one will lift up his fellow. And so therefore we see here there's a testimony in two. Now you can study the scripture, some of the twos that are in the Word of God. Do you remember the two disciples who were walking on the road to Emmaus in Luke's Gospel chapter 24? And there they were talking about problems. They were filled with doubts, they were filled with questions. And then the Bible says, Jesus himself drew near and walked with them. And so here we find two disciples with their problems. And then the Lord comes. And so there was the testimony concerning the problems that they faced. In 2 Kings chapter 2, verses 6, 7, and 8, we find the two men of God, Elisha and Elijah. And you'll find that it mentions the two of them went on. The two went over. And the two moved on together. And so we find that indeed in the scriptures once again, these two. And what happened whenever they were walking together? We find that Elisha asked for a double portion. And so the subject there was power. There was power. Problems with the two in Luke and power in 2 Kings chapter 2. In Genesis chapter 5, we have another two. It says that Enoch walked with God. There was a two there. And of course, the Bible tells us, can two walk together except they be agreed? And so there we find that, what did they talk about there? Whenever Enoch walked with God, it was about promotion, because the Lord was taking him on home. He says, come on home with me. And the Lord promoted Enoch to glory that day. The Bible says he was not, because the Lord took him. And what we find here in this chapter of God's Word, these two. But here we find the prodigal. Here we find the prodigal. Because Naomi was the prodigal returning home. The wanderer was returning home. And she was returning home to Bethlehem, or the place called home. Now, of course, it's an interesting thing it says here. The two went until they came to Bethlehem. But do you notice something? There is no record of what they said along the journey. There is nothing recorded of what these two women talked. Now, I have no doubt whatsoever, because two men can talk and so can two women. I have no doubt they had plenty to talk about in that journey. And yet the Holy Ghost puts a veil over it. There's not a word that is mentioned. It just simply says this, they two went until they came to Bethlehem. And the next thing is they're entering into Bethlehem. Is there any significance that we can look into or see in that? Let me tell you this. Naomi is getting back to God. And you see, whenever you're getting right with God, my friend, that is between you and the Lord. You don't come and confess your sins to the preacher. You don't come and confess your sins to a priest, thank God. You confess your sins to God. And therefore, it is between you and the Lord. You don't need a priest. You don't need the preacher. The Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And I can tell you this, whenever the Lord forgives you your sin, the Lord will not run around the corner to gossip about what you did. But thank God, God is able to forgive your sin. And when God forgives your sin, the Bible tells us God blots out your sin, never to be remembered against you anymore. And you ought to rejoice in that fact. That whenever God forgives your sin, God forgives it completely. It is gone, and it is gone forever. And so therefore, there's nothing mentioned of conversation between these two women. This woman is getting back. She's going home. She's getting back to God. And so we find that God pulls a veil over their conversation. We're not talking about what they said to each other, friend, because that's not what matters. It's what they, it's what she did. She got back to God. And that's what matters. She got back to God. And friend, let me tell you, let no one put a barrier in your way. If you're away from God today, let no one put a barrier to stop you getting back to God. Thank God there is a way back to God from your dark paths of sin. There is a door that is open that you can go in. At Calvary's cross, that's where you begin as you come as a sinner to Jesus. And here we find the record here. It just simply says this. They too went until they came. That's all it says. That's the record of it. Until they came to Bethlehem. Now, whenever they got there, look at verse 19. And it came to pass that when they were come to Bethlehem, that all the city was moved about them, and they said, "Is this Naomi?" Now, what's clear from this is Naomi was well known. Remember, 10 years at least have passed. 10 years have passed since Naomi has been in the city of Bethlehem. And so we find here that whenever she was coming into it, it says all the city was moved about them. In other words, she was not only well known, she was highly respected. Elimelech and Naomi had been highly respected way back all those years. And whenever the people of the city see Naomi coming back, but where's Elimelech? Where's the boys? They see this other woman, they don't know who she is. And the Bible says that whenever the city saw her, the Bible says that they were moved. And they said, "Is this Naomi?" They called her by her name. Even though 10 years had passed, they still knew her. They still knew her. She was highly respected in that city. The name means pleasant. And the Bible says the city was moved, or what that means, it was stirred. The city was not only stirred, it was surprised, it was shook up, it was amazed. Matthew Henry says, "It appears that she had formerly lived respectably, else there would not have been so much notice taken of her." She was just a woman coming back. But all the city takes notice of it because of who she had formerly been and the testimony that formerly she once had in that place. But notice the reference here. Notice the reference. It says here that they said, "Is this Naomi?" Because whenever they saw her, they couldn't believe what they saw. Why the question? Is this Naomi? Matthew Henry goes on to say, they were surprised to see her in this condition. She was so much broken and altered with her afflictions that they could scarcely believe their own eyes nor think that this was the same person. Why, friend? Because, yes, we all know how years change you. And all we've got to do is look in the mirror and see how the years have changed. And you say, "Well, this is me." I was speaking to a woman the other day, and she said to me, she said, "Mr. McRae, I got a cataract removed from my eyes." And she says, "I want to tell you this. There was a door there, and it seemed to be always so gray. And I couldn't believe it. I thought it was painted. It was so white." And then she said, "I went in the mirror." And she says, "I looked in the mirror. And she says, I saw lines that I never saw before." You see, friends, let me tell you, they were amazed. They were amazed what they saw. They couldn't believe what they saw. Is this the same person? Why? Because I'll tell you why. Because her backslidden years, friend, away from God, robbed her and stripped her of her glory. The joy that once she had, the beauty that once she had, the radiance once that was in her life, it wasn't there anymore. And all they saw was a broken-hearted woman, and they couldn't believe it. And friend, let me tell you this, wander away from God, and I tell you, the devil will do the same for you. He'll take away the joy of your face. You know, I can think back over the years, and you've seen someone perhaps at once that sat amongst the people of God, friend. They used to attend the prayer meetings. They used to go to the things and places they were never missing. And then something happens. You say, "Is this the one? Is that the person that once sat in the prayer meeting?" You see them in places, friend, that you never imagined they'd ever be. And the Bible says that the whole city was moved. And friend, you know what they saw? They saw what happens when a person goes away from God. And there's a warning here. There's a warning here. You go away from God, and I can tell you this, the radiance and the glory and the joy will go out of your life. It's not what David cried when he came back to the Lord. He says, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Why? Because he had lost it. And I asked you this morning, have you lost the joy? Is the radiance and glory of knowing the Lord and walking with God and loving the Lord, is it gone from your life, friend? It's not there anymore. And the Bible says the whole city was moved. The reference, is this Naomi? Can this be her? Not only she had aged, friend, but the radiance and joy had gone out of her life. But notice the third thing. Notice the rebuke. The rebuke. Go to verse number 20. And she said, this is now Naomi speaking. And Naomi said unto them, call me not Naomi, call me Mara, for the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. You know, Naomi sharply rebukes her old acquaintances when they mentioned her name. She says, call me not Naomi. I said it means pleasant. It can mean my joy, my delight, the lovable, pleasantness. That's what the word, the name means. But you know, she gives up on her name. She can't bear even to hear that name. And remember, there's someone here today, friend, listen, and you remember what you used to be for God, and you can hardly bear to listen to the word. You can barely listen to somebody praying and being in touch with God because you're so out of touch with God. And here we find Naomi, listen, even to hear the name, it convicts her. And she says, call me not Naomi. I don't want you to hear that name again. I've given up on that name. Maybe, friend, you've given up on the name of Christ. Once you walked with him, once you loved him, once you served him, but you've given up on him. I'm glad God hasn't given up on you. I'm glad God hasn't stopped loving you. And here we find, she says, call me Mara. Why did you say that? Don't call me Naomi. Friend, let me tell you, she felt totally unworthy of such a lovely name. She felt totally unworthy. Isn't that what the prodigal said? Whenever he came back, when he was sitting there at the swine trough, and he said, I will arise and go to my father, and I'll say unto my father, Father, I'm not worthy to be called thy son. Make me one of your hired servants. He felt so unworthy. And so does Naomi. She's unworthy even of that name. Because life's experience, let me tell you, my friend, life's experience will either make you bitter or better. And the interesting thing is this, that the chastisement of God in that home made Ruth better. But it made Naomi bitter. Tell me, are you carrying a chip on your shoulder? Has life made you bitter? Naomi's life was made bitter. You see, I believe that Naomi was recalling what happened. Why did she say, call me Mara? You see, she knew the scriptures. She knew the Bible. She remembered the story that her brother McKee read this morning. In Exodus chapter 15.
She knew about how the children of Israel, when they were wandering there in the wilderness, how that they came, and Moses was leading them, and they came to the well, and they drank of the water, but the water was bitter. It was called Marah. Marah. And Naomi remembers that. And that's why she said, call me Marah. Call me bitter. And she's acknowledging here her knowledge of the Scriptures. Now, I honestly believe before God in the reading of this story that it doesn't mean that she was bitter against the Lord. I don't believe she was bitter against the Lord. But what she was acknowledging in this was this, the condition of her heart was bitter. The condition of her heart. She had been taught a bitter lesson. She's acknowledging that she has brought about her own heartache. And when she says, don't call me pleasant anymore, call me bitter, she's acknowledging her grief over her condition. That's why Psalm 51 says in verse 17, a broken and a contrite heart thou wilt not despise. And I've said this before, and I'm saying it again, friend. I believe that a problem in Naomi's heart that day was this, that she couldn't forgive herself. She couldn't forgive herself. It wasn't that God wouldn't forgive her, because God bring her back. God was forcing her back. And I tell you, God can do that, as we'll see in a moment. But she couldn't forgive herself, her foolishness. Why did we leave? Why did we go to Moab? Why? And her heart was breaking. You see, Moab brought bitterness. Thank God, Bethlehem brought her bread. But she's acknowledging here, look at verse 20, the Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. What's she acknowledging here? She's acknowledging God has chastened her. That the rod that's upon her back is the rod of God. The Almighty, meaning the one who is sufficient. Let me tell you, friend. Had God not dealt with a woman in this way and this family, they never would have left Moab. How many more years would they have stayed there? But God had to step in. And God take away the husband. And God take away her two boys. The chastening hand of God. I read these words this week. Your trials are designed by Him who sent them to bring you closer to Himself. They are His own appointed gateways, opening up and admitting to great spiritual blessings. The mother eagle is said purposefully to put a thorn into her nest to compel her brood to fly. Isn't that interesting? The mother eagle puts a thorn in the nest when it's time for her brood to fly. If God gives us no thorns, if He never disturbed the downy nest of our worldly ease, we might be tempted to remain grovelers forever. He knows us better. He loves us best. Has God put a thorn in your nest, friend? Have you experienced the chastening hand of God in your life? That's what Naomi's acknowledging. The Almighty hath dealt very bitterly with me. And therefore she says, don't call me Naomi, I'm not worthy of that. She's acknowledging her sin. And that's what you need to do this morning. You need to acknowledge your sin of straying away from God. Listen, you'll never enjoy life. If you have tasted of the good things of God, you'll never enjoy life until you get back to the Lord. We sang this morning, I'm tired of sin and straying, Lord. And then look at verse number 21 quickly, because here's the reasoning. I went out full, and the Lord hath brought me home again empty. Notice the words there. Have you caught the words that you said? I went out. I went out. She's acknowledging it's her fault. She's accepting the blame personally. She's accepting responsibility. She didn't blame her husband. She didn't say, Elimelech, he took me. She didn't blame her boys and say, listen, they coaxed me. Or they were the reason that I went. Notice something else. She didn't even blame the Lord. You notice, quite often when people go away from God, friend, they always look for somebody to blame. Or if they've lost their vibrance or their joy of the Lord, there's always somebody else to blame. No, Naomi has come home, friend, and she said this, I went out. It was me. And that's why the Word of God says, if we confess our sins, He's faithful and just to forgive us. But you've got to confess them. You've got to accept the blame. Stop blaming others. Stop hiding behind somebody else, friend. If your heart's not right with God today, then you need to get right. If you're away from God, then you need to get back. I went out. That's what you said. But you had to be honest. Notice you said this. I went out full. But is that so? Why did they go to Moab in the first place? Because they were empty. There's a famine. You could say, well, did they not go out poor? Did they not go out seeking bread? Yes, they did. But she says, I went out full. What was she saying, friend? She realized how blessed she was because the day she went out, friend, she had got her husband and she had got her boys. She had a family. And sometimes we can't see the blessings that we have until they're taken away from us. Just how full our blessings were. Are you and I going to have to wait until God takes them away from us, friend, before we see the blessings that we have? How richly blessed we are. Count your many blessings. Name them one by one. At that time, whenever they went out, they didn't realize how richly blessed they were. And now she looks back. She says, I went out full. I went out full. Even though they were seeking bread. Even though it seemed to be that nothing. And maybe you've come to the place, friend, that nothing really satisfies. You see, when you walk away from God, nothing really satisfies you anymore. Not only is everybody else to blame, but listen, you're not content. You can't be content when you go away from God. Your life will not have fulfillment when you're away from God. And here she looks back and says, I went out full. And then she says these words. The Lord hath brought me home again empty. In other words, the word and without a thing. Empty handed. But notice what God did with that. The Lord hath brought me home. Have you got it? I went out full. There was self-will. There was the flesh was ruling. But God brought circumstances into her life. And she's acknowledging, the Lord hath brought me home again. Let me ask this question, friend, quickly. What will it take for God to bring you home again? To get back to Him? Will God have to empty your hand? Will God have to empty your life? Will God have to empty your home? These are serious things, friend. She looked back and she said, I went out full. Now she's looking and she says, I'm back empty. That wasn't true either. She's still at life. God had given her love of Ruth, a devoted daughter-in-law. And she's still at the Lord. She wasn't empty. Oh, the devil wants you to see it's empty. John Wesley, whenever he was in his deathbed, he said this. Best of all, God is with us. I have everything when I have the Lord. You know what God did, friend? God took from Naomi all those who aided her in her rebellion. And God stripped her of them. It's a serious thing to walk away from God. But looking through her eyes that were tear-dimmed, she saw no reason to be called Naomi anymore. She thought she'd never sing again. She thought she'd never smile again. Isn't that what the old devil wants to tell you? No hope. There's no way back. There's no forgiveness. There's no pardon. There's no peace. Just turn to chapter 4 quickly. We're nearly finished. Chapter 4, verse 14. Or verse 13. So Boaz took Ruth, and she was his wife. And he went on unto her. The Lord gave her conception, and she bare a son. And the woman, that's the woman of the city that couldn't believe it was Naomi. The woman said unto Naomi, blessed be the Lord, which hath not left thee this day without a kinsman, that his name may be famous in Israel. And he shall be unto thee a restorer of thy life and a nourisher of thine old age. For thy daughter-in-law, which loveth thee, which is better to thee than seven sons had borne him. And Naomi took the child and laid it in her bosom and became nurse unto him. And she looked down into the face of the little child. And as the little one smiles, so Naomi does again. The smile came back into her face. And joy came back into her life. You know why, friend? Because the Lord hath brought me back again. Oh, get back to Him. I've wandered far away from God. Lord, I'm coming home. We haven't time to go into just leave this with you. She said, why then call you to me, Naomi, verse 21, seeing that the Lord hath testified against me? See, God had a controversy with her. He had laid a rod upon her back that he might retrieve her heart. He says, young man, give me your heart. He's interested in your heart, friend. He wants your heart back. And then she said, the Almighty hath afflicted me. You see, the Lord has a way of bringing his wandering child back to subjection. It was a hard road. But thank God she came back. And here's the last thought. Here's the reward. Verse 22. So Naomi returned, and Ruth the Moabitess, her daughter-in-law, with her, which returned out of the country of Moab, and they came to Bethlehem in the beginning of barley harvest. Haven't time to go into that, but I want to tell you this. Had they have come at any other time, here's the providence of God. Had Naomi and Ruth come before harvest, they'd have found it difficult to support themselves. Had they have come after the harvest, they would have missed the opportunity of blessing. But in the providence of God, in his guiding hand, when did they come, friend? It was barley harvest. And Ruth could glean in the field. George MacDonald told of a woman who had experienced great tragedy, and she said these words. The heartache was so crushing and her sorrow so bitter that she exclaimed, I wish I'd never been made. Her friend with discernment said, my dear, you are not fully made yet. You're only being made. And this is the Maker's process. God's not finished with us yet. Thank God he has more to do. He's still working on me to make me what I ought to be. For all the heartaches and the tears, for gloomy days and fruitful years, I do give thanks, for now I know these were the things that helped me grow. All things work together for good to them that love God. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, bless your word today. We thank thee for thy word. We thank thee for Naomi getting back to the place of blessing. And it was barley harvest. You met her need. You supplied all her need. And we know today that thou hast promised to supply the needs of your people. Oh God, I pray that if there are those that have wandered, bring them back. Give them back the joy that once they had, the joy of serving the Lord for Jesus' sake.